We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Michigan puts up 550 yards of offense. Cade McNamara, 9 of 11, all leading up to a Michigan victory, 47-14 over Western Michigan. We'll have highlights, we'll have coach, we'll have player sound. Stay tuned here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
It's a really good win. We're moving on to Washington. We're super excited for how we look, I think, offensively and especially defensively. It was a really fun game. I'm just glad to have the fans back.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
We got a lot to cover, and I want to make sure we get in Brian Bush here. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm great, John. What a day. What a win. What a crowd. And before we break down the game, I do want to talk about that big announcement from Jim Brandsatter and Dan Dierdorf today, retiring at the end of the season from Michigan Radio. You know, there's such a brotherhood of people who wore that winged helmet, much smaller brotherhood of people who wore that winged helmet and then wore a headset here on this radio network. What does this mean to you to hear that this will be their final season?
A little bit of a shock. You know, we know that they can't do it forever, so I'm excited for those guys and what they want to do with their falls moving forward. They have been doing this for, you know, whether they've been playing, broadcasting, they've been involved and haven't had a fall to themselves for nearly six decades. So excited to see what they're going to do moving forward. But Jim Brandsatter was broadcasting these games when I was playing. And I've had a chance to get to know him when I was playing with the Lions. And, you know, he was covering the Lions there as well. And obviously now working with both Jim and Dad in this capacity, it's been an absolute honor. And you talk about learning from some of the best. And I've had the opportunity as a player to learn from some terrific coaches, both at the college level and at the pro level. And now doing the broadcasting, to be able to learn from both Jim and Dan, it's been a privilege and an honor. And I've learned so much over the past 7 or 8 years just from working with these guys and how they prepare, what they talk about, how they talk about it. And there's been some tough moments, you know, that we've had to talk about. And being able to learn on the fly with those guys has been an unbelievable privilege.
No doubt about it. And I'm glad we've got plenty of games with them to enjoy before they wrap things up. All right. if this game is any indication, they're going to have a really fun final season because this was a great day, a great crowd, a great victory. Tough not to just take it all in and smile. And, man, I mean, after losing it all last season, the tough season on and off the field, we got it all back here on this Saturday afternoon.
One of the things, I think one of the most important things was the energy that the players played with. When you think back to last year, and we all want to forget it, but it did happen. And it was Michigan State, it was Penn State. It really felt like it was pulling teeth for these players to go out there. And it was so much that was going on around them, and not necessarily just about football, but for the fans to be back in the stands and see the team take the field with energy and play for, you know, four quarters with that energy. It was a real pleasure to watch today.
So the offense will probably get a lot of the headlines because we saw two quarterbacks. We saw several different runners have a tremendous performance. But I want to talk about the defense. This was the more unknown coming into this game. Mike McDonald, his first game as the defensive coordinator here at Michigan. There was a 75-yard drive to start for Western. After that, not a whole lot to speak of. How did Michigan have so much success on that side?
Well, they were able to adjust, and this is what Doug and I talked about in the pregame, and you heard Mike McDonald and some of the audio that he had. He wanted this to be an adaptive defense, and that means when you play against a team like Western Michigan, it's going to be different than when you play against some other Big Ten teams or you play against Washington next week. So you've got to be able to adapt and, you know, try and come up with ways to stop the offense that you're facing. But in game, you've got to be adaptive as well. And I saw in this game, Josh Ross in the first quarter, that he ran a cross dog, and it looked like it was just a half second too late, and he wasn't able to get there. And then in the second quarter, they ran the exact same stunt, the exact same defense, and he's able to put a hit on Ellaby, the Western Michigan's quarterback. So you could see them learning and working together at game speed throughout the course of this game. And the only two touchdowns that they scored were on drives that were extended by themselves. David Ojabo, had the unsportsmanlike penalty that led to a touchdown. And then, you know, in the second half there, they had a running into the kicker. And that's the only way that they were able to extend drives and then turn them into touchdowns. So this was a tremendous effort and performance by this defense.
Yeah, a couple of fall downs, but they kept their footing. They stayed upright, and they were able to get the job done. If Michigan's going to have the success it wants to have this season, Aiden Hutchinson, Dax Hill have to be impactful players. And they didn't come back to Michigan to have big games against Western Michigan.
Right.
But it starts here, and they had that impact. They need to be around the ball a lot.
Well, and there's a lot of confidence that was built today in both of those players. We saw and heard about Dax Hill and the plays that he was around the ball, plays that he was making, you know, passes that he was defending. And it was the same thing with Aiden Hutchinson. He had a hit on the quarterback where, you know, you watch the replay of it and he makes the offensive tackle, the right tackle, looked like he was standing in cement. He did a great job of swatting his hands, getting him to lean, and some of that was great execution on that play, but you could see throughout the course of the game him setting him up, and everybody's wondering, well, Aiden Hutchinson's supposed to be the stud. Why is he not getting to the quarterback? Well, you have to make sure that you get there at the right time. You would love to get there on every single play. That's not how football works, but he was setting him up for when it mattered the most, and he made his move and got there, got the sack, got the fumble. They didn't recover the ball, but that's the type of play that I want to see from Aiden Hutchinson and the type of game I want to see him play.
Who else other than the stars stood out on the defensive side?
Well, there are times where you look and you say, okay, well, Josh Ross, there was a third down where he was covering a slot receiver, gave up a first. And that's, you know, I think what a lot of people are going to be talking about. But Josh Ross, sideline to sideline, I thought he played a very good game. Nakai Hill-Green, I thought the speed at which he played with, there were times where things would open up in front of him where you got your defensive lineman absorbing blocks, absorbing one or two guys. And, you know, Mazi Smith, those guys I thought played well. And they took on the blocks, allowing the linebackers to come in and make plays. And Brad Hawkins. Brad Hawkins was all over the field, so it was great to see.
Let's transition to the offense, and I want to start with the downside, one of the very few downsides in all of this, because there's plenty of positivity to recap. But long-term for this team, the health of Ronnie Bell is vital. We'll await the results of the MRI after he left in the first half following that long punt return. Just your thoughts for the young man and for the impact on this team.
Well, you can obviously see the comfort level that Cade McNamara has with Ronnie Bell. And you heard Coach talk about the OPI that he was called with, which I thought was a terrible call. Doesn't matter they called it, but that was a play that got his teammates fired up. And then you obviously you have a 76-yard touchdown catch. Cade McNamara was targeting Ronnie Bell. Now, if he's going to be out for any extended period of time, or even if it's just a week, he's going to have to get comfortable with Mikey Samristil, Cornelius Johnson. He's going to have to, again, develop that trust that you have to have quarterback to receiver with another, or and hopefully, maybe this in the long run, this could be a blessing in disguise. Hopefully, Ronnie Bell is back in a week, or he's back in 2 weeks. And, you know, you can use the Washington game, you could use the Northern Illinois game to develop that chemistry that you need with another receiver.
Yeah, fingers crossed. As we talk now, we're not sure, but hopefully Ronnie Bell can come back and can come back soon. Plenty to like from this one. And, John, this was, in a lot of ways, your style of game, a running game, an offensive line game. Haskins, Corum, sprinkling the A.J. Henning explosive play. You see Donovan Edwards, Roman Wilson had a big run. Just how big were those running holes, and how well did those young men take advantage?
Well, here's what I like. Early on in the game, in the first quarter, they had 10 rushes for 48 yards. Then in the second, they had 14 for 47 yards. Every quarter, it got better and better, all the way to the fourth quarter. And I know it's different guys in there, but you're still developing that offensive line. They had 14 carries for 110 yards. So, like we had talked about in the pregame, and we talk about this every time we talk about Michigan football, is those 3 and 4 yard carries in the first quarter turn into 7, 8, maybe you bust one for 20 or 30 yards, a big run here and there later in the game. You've got to be able to wear down that defensive line. And if you are going to be a team with a big offensive line, which Michigan has right now, you've got to be able to wear down that defensive line, that defensive front seven. And in turn, it also makes pass protection that much easier with being able to run and do some play-action passes. But also, hey, those guys are tired from being beaten on. They're not going to bring their best pass rush. So it pays dividends in so many different ways.
I know a big storyline last year was wondering, oh, well, who is Michigan's bell cow running back? And when you bring in a guy like Mike Hart, he was the epitome of a bell cow running back. But boy, in big games where you figure it's going to be Haskins and Corum deep into the third and fourth quarters, I mean, that formula can work, and they don't have to shoulder 30 carries in one of their cases.
No, they don't, but I still believe, and, you know, obviously today there were nine different rushers, Hassan Haskins or Blake Corum, and it could be somebody different in every given Saturday, but they're going to have to get to, you know, 20 carries, 22 carries a game so that they get in that rhythm. You don't always want to be splitting carries and think, well, Hassan has 10 carries. I've got to make sure we get Blake Corum these many carries. You still have to have that bell cow. And it can be different every, you know, in any given Saturday. So I did like the fact that both guys were able to get some confidence. They were able to get confidence behind this offensive line. And really, this offensive line, early on in the game, they weren't getting as much movement. And, you know, by that, I mean, on the double teams, when they're running some of the zone schemes, they were meeting the linebacker in the hole. They weren't getting push on that down lineman. And then you start to get into the second, third, and fourth quarters, and that defensive lineman is getting pushed back 2 yards, which makes that linebacker make a decision. And that decision is going to be wrong every single time when you have guys in the backfield that can make some cuts. So that's where I think that you can see some improvement from week one to week two, is getting better movement early on in the game from that offensive line.
To the quarterbacks, Cade McNamara, 9 of 11, 136 yards, 2 touchdowns, did not play much beyond the first half. What did you see from him?
Good decision-making, and he just has the ability to take this team down the field and put points on the board. We saw it. We heard it from Doug Carr. She had a great stat. I think it was 14 drives. 7 of them were touchdowns, and it's going back to last year. One of them was a field goal. No interceptions, no turnovers. That's what you've got to have from your quarterback. And you now have the confidence. I know Ronnie Bell is out, but you have a 76-yard touchdown pass. You have some explosive plays. So now you take that and you build upon it for next week, and you start to get more of your receivers involved. There were 9 different, you know, pass catchers. But what I really liked, and I'm excited about this, is if you go back and you watch the game, look at a play that was run to Eric Aul. It was a little out route in the third quarter. and Mikey Sanders still turned and blocked, and it instead of Eric Aull getting a 5-yard reception, it turned into a 9-yard gain. Might even have been a first down. But those are the efforts that you've got to see, whether it's a long run or it's a pass catch that is going to be taken for a long run. You got to be able to get those downfield blocks, and I saw that today.
How about J.J. McCarthy? Getting him involved, he got some reps, had a couple of freshman moments, and then the wild play to Daylon Baldwin. You heard Dan Dierdorf on the radio broadcast, just, you know, that's not on the how-to video by any stretch, but his talents aren't on those how-to videos either.
No, and throwing the ball across the field is a freshman moment, and he came out on the positive side of that freshman moment, a 69-yard touchdown pass. And what you saw from him on that play is the ability to throw the ball like he did across the field and have the vision to see it and have, you know, being able to gesture to his receiver on what to do. But you also have to rein in the young man and say, hey, it worked this time, but it's not going to work every time. Make sure you pick and choose, and he has the ability to take advantage of some of those situations.
Before we go any further, a thank you to our game sponsor from today. Coca-Cola with zero sugar and now even more delicious. Is the new Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Find out for yourself. Time now for our post-game interviews, and we begin with the head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Coach, we talked on Monday, and I asked you how you knew your team was going to be ready, and you said, hey, you don't really know until the game starts.
Yes.
What did you learn about your team today?
That they were ready. They were ready to go. They were well prepared. Thought they did a great job, you know, getting themselves prepared, coaches preparing. It was a great team effort. Got a lot of guys that played, and then a lot of guys that played really well.
You talk about the guys that played really well. We'll start with the quarterback position. Cade McNamara, 9 of 11 today. What was your analysis early on of him in this game?
I thought he was playing really in good rhythm, seeing the field well, making very accurate throws. He was in command of the offense. I thought he did a terrific job.
9 different receivers caught passes. You mentioned early on this summer that this is the deepest receiving core that you had. Obviously, you know, some running backs, Blake Corum caught a ball, you know, tight end Eric Aull caught balls, but you were able to spread the ball around. In terms of what Cade McNamara was able to do in hitting so many different receivers, your offense, it was explosive, it was fun to watch, and just how was he able to divide up those catches and those distribute the ball to so many different receivers?
I think it started with the running game and the physical play of the line up front. That was a big focus, and we were able to get there's so much attention being paid to stopping the run, low playing safeties. I thought it really helped in the play action, and that's where I think it started. And then there's some really and a bunch of big plays. I mean, big plays in the running game, big plays in the passing game. Reverse, big plays in the kicking game. So it was, I thought it was really sound fundamentally, and also we're able to do a great job making the big play and not turning the ball over.
Well, I think you nailed it right there, not turning the ball over. Has that been a focus of this offseason, especially this fall?
Yes, it has. And Blake and Hassan do a great job with the ball security. Thought Kay did a great job. The ball handling was really precise, and so it was really good. Don't want to fall in love with our stuff. We can get better. So onward we go.
Ronnie Bell had the one catch for 76 yards, explosive play for a touchdown. First of all, his being a captain and showing the leadership that he showed on the field. Getting that touchdown, how big of a loss was it to lose him to injury in this game?
That was the thing that's really on the mind right now. We'll do an MRI tonight. Don't know how serious it is, but he made the big play that really cracked it open early in the game. Took a post, contested catch, kept his feet, and finished it in the end zone. The one-handed grab he made on the sideline was tremendous. Did not agree with the OPI call. Mm-hmm. And then he had the big punt return. Pray for Ronnie and hope for the best. And And we'll see how that MRI comes out.
Defensively, you know, going into this game, the Ellaby, their quarterback, was very efficient last year. He was a concern. You were able to get after him, especially in the second and third quarters. How important was it to be able to put pressure on him as this game continued to move along?
Well, I think that was big. You know, I think they were playing the on-off by the corner game, checking to the sideline, throwing the ball when they had access, and then trying to go deep when it was press. Mike McDonald mixed up the defensive calls, gave him a little bit of everything, and then the pressure started to have an effect, and that was big. Aiden Hutchinson had a heck of a game. The guy was all over the field. Was mm-hmm. Dax Hill. I mean, he was everywhere, making tackles in the backfield on the bubbles, the screens, breaking up passes, you know, over the middle, made some big stops. I thought he had a whale of a game.
You mentioned you don't want to fall in love with the stats or anything that happened. There's still obviously a lot of this season to go. Is there anything that just in terms of early reflection that you'd like this team to do better?
Yeah, there's gonna be some things for sure. And we got a big game with Washington this week. But yeah, we'll enjoy this win. There's no easy wins. And proud of our guys. I think, you know, also with the special teams, mm-hmm. I thought it was an amazing performance by them. We blocked a field goal, had a big 80-yard return on the kickoff by Blake Corm.
How important are those big plays in special teams just to the momentum and the energy that it provides your team?
That's huge. I mean, it's a huge phase. And I thought physically, you know, our guys were in shape. Playing physical and playing tough, and you know, when you have that, you can build.
Coach, we appreciate your time, and celebrate this win, and we'll talk again Monday night.
Thanks, John.
Time for the player interviews with Doug Karsh, and we start things with Vincent Gray right after the game on the sidelines.
Michigan cornerback Vincent Gray. And Vince, we talked to you in the pregame show as he congratulates the Bronco. We talked to you in the pregame show, and you said you wanted to prove people wrong about yourself and about this defense. How do you feel about the way first you played today?
We played all right, but we haven't done anything yet. We got a long season to go. We got to stack on this and get better every week, every day.
What do you think you improved on the most?
I feel like I still could have made better plays on the ball, especially when the opportunity came my way. I could have came down with a nice pick today, but we got to keep stacking on this and know that we got to get. It's only up from here. We got to keep getting better.
Your defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, his first game. He made some adjustments, it looked like, after the first drive or two. Talk a little bit about what you did differently the rest of the game.
Yeah, Coach McDonald's a stud. I got full faith in him. He's like a scientist out there. He knows the plays before they even happen, and he knows exactly what's going on within the game. It's fun playing with him.
You only got to play two games here last year. Talk about the difference having fans in the stands made.
It's a tremendous difference. It makes us play five times better having these fans in here, having the energy of the fans in here. Last year felt like it was less intensity in practice. It was more intensity in practice than it was out there last year. So having these fans out here made a big difference.
Finally, Washington next week. Big game, night game, national TV. What are your early thoughts on that one?
We're about to prepare for that tonight. Watch film on them, watch their games from today, and learn from what they were doing and apply that to throughout practice.
Go up against Giles Jackson, huh? Go up against Giles Jackson, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can't wait for that one. Battled against him a lot while he was here, so I'm comfortable with what he brings to the game, and I can't wait to put on a show against him.
Vince, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Vince Gray down on the field, guys.
We remain on the defensive side as Doug catches up with Captain Aiden Hutchinson in the locker room.
Aiden, first of all, the feeling in this locker room after a big win in a game that people thought would be tight.
Yeah, it was a really good win. We're moving on to Washington. We're super excited for how we look, I think, offensively and especially defensively. It was a really fun game. I'm glad to have the fans back.
Yeah, they make a difference, don't they?
Oh, my God. I love the Michigan football fans. That's all.
So, first drive, they go right down the field and score. You've got – it looks a little different this year, each position coach working with their guys. Did it make a difference?
What did what make a difference?
The coaches, each position coach work. Instead of Don Brown, it seemed like everybody gathered around Don Brown last year. It looked like more hands-on from your position coaches. Do you think that matters?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, I love our staff. I love our pregame routine and how we set up on game days. You know, that was the first one with this new defense. And I think Coach Mack has done a really good job and definitely, you know, more hands-on, more feedback, more adjustments, just a lot more hands-on, just like you said.
So, Coach Mack, Vince Gray told me he was yelling out plays before they happened, and he could hear them, and he was right a lot. Yeah. Were you hearing him? Did it help?
Yeah. I mean, on one play, the corner's hearing better because they're closer to him, but in the fourth quarter, when I was sitting on the sideline, he was like, "Junior, get the back!" And Junior looks at the back, and what do you know? The back goes on a flare, and Junior's sitting right there. I mean, the guy is an absolute mastermind, so I'm glad he's my DC.
All right. You hear from your dad yet?
No, not yet. We give little hand signals and stuff mid-game, and you know, it was all good vibes. I thought I'd play well today.
Your dad, of course, an All-American in Michigan. Let's talk about Washington next week. Big challenge ahead. What's your early read on that game?
Yeah, haven't seen a ton of film on them. Definitely going to be watching whoever they're playing this week. I'm not quite sure. But I know they got a good offensive line, so it's going to be a good test for our defensive line. And, you know, we got to prepare well for that game.
One final thing. How do you feel about your new position? Standing up, dropping into coverage at times?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I think this really opens up my ability, and it really puts me in the best position to make plays.
Aiden, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Now to the offensive side. Cade McNamara, efficient, productive, and then with Doug Karsh, talkative on this post-game interview.
Cade, let's start with the atmosphere. Your first game in the big house with fans. How different was it from a year ago?
It was super different. I mean, this is everything that us as players committed to play at Michigan. And, you know, we're finally excited to be in that atmosphere. And it was rocking. Can't wait to see what it looks like next week, though.
Makes a difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And on both sides of the ball, it makes a difference. And, you know, this is why we play. It was awesome.
Let's talk about your touchdown passes. First, Ronnie Bell. Take us through that play from beginning to end.
They honestly showed a couple coverages that we weren't expecting coming into this, and I was able to recognize it. And Ronnie ran a great route, and I saw a one-on-one matchup, and, you know, he made me right.
Second one to Blake Corum, a little swing pass. Take us through that.
Yeah, to be honest, that play is all based on how well we block the edge, and they blocked it well, and it just gave Blake room. I think he made one guy miss and touchdown right there.
You mentioned how well you blocked the play. Offensive line, key component for this team's success. How do you think they did up front?
Absolutely. They had a great job. We pounded the rock. Even on a two-minute scenario, we were pounding the rock, and we were moving the ball up and down the field. And really proud of those boys, and we put a huge emphasis on that part of our game, and they proved it tonight.
What about you? You only had two incompletions. They were both batted down. What can you improve on going into a bigger game next week?
I just need to prepare the same way I prepared. I'm confident in the way I prepared, and, you know, I wasn't perfect, so be as best as I can to be perfect.
All right, your running backs, Haskins and Corum, big days for them. Talk about their contributions.
Those guys are beasts, straight beasts. Two very different styles, but they both get the job done in their own ways. Proud of H2, proud of Blake. These guys are ballers.
Next week, Washington, obviously big stage, big game, big opponent. What's your early read on that game?
We're confident. We recognize that, you know, last season we won our first game and then we died off a little bit. That's going to be huge emphasis going into the next week that we're going to keep the same mentality rolling.
Final thing, JJ's throw, roll out one side, throw it all the way across the field. That's a classic don't do it, but he did it and it was successful. But what's the message on that play?
You know, he's very elusive. That part of his game is outside of the pocket is a big strength for him. And I think, you know, he made it work. So let it good play. That's all. Yeah.
Good luck. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
We wrap up our interviews this week with running back Blake Corum.
Blake, feeling in this locker room after the game, big smile on your face, big win, huh?
For sure. This is the big win. This is my first win in the big house. It felt good to have the fans back, you know. And as a team, we looked really good. You know, this offseason, we really focused on just coming together as one unit, and that's what we showed today.
Last year, I was in the stands watching your games, working radio. You were there, empty stadium. How much of a difference did it make having fans in the stands?
Oh, you know, we feed off their energy. And so I think it made a big difference. You know, last year for me, I wasn't used to having fans. But today, it definitely made a big difference.
All right, let's talk about your touchdowns. First, the little swing pass, blocked well up front. You made a man miss and saw nothing but the blue paint ahead of you. Take us through it.
You know, we practiced that all week. And Coach said, it was play six. He said, when you get this, you're going to score. And, you know, I don't even take credit myself. It was the O-line and my receivers, Mikey Sanger still. You know, it was those guys that really got the job done, made my job easy.
Second touchdown, came on a touchdown run, kind of put him away. Take us through that play from your perspective.
You know, the guys up front, they were blocking all day. And so I know when they block, all I need is a little crease. And I know I can make people miss at the second level. And when I got the ball, the linebacker was right there, made him miss. My O-line made it to the second level, cut off him, and it was over from there.
Everybody talked about your offseason in the weight room. You posted on social media pictures of yourself in the weight room. You live there, basically, in the offseason. Do you feel like today you got to see some of the payoff?
Yeah, you know, hard work always pays off. And so I knew coming into this game it was going to pay off, and I just couldn't wait to put what I did this offseason out there.
Can you talk a little bit about the combination of yourself and Hassan, the different running styles, and how that can give a defense problems?
You know, this is a 1-2 punch, and then we got Donovan. So, you know, me and Hassan, we're two different running backs. Hassan comes with a lot of power. You know, it's hard to tackle him. And then I come with a lot of finesse, you know. So we're both really hard to tackle. One's going to run through you. I might make you fall. So, you know, we're a good 1-2 punch. We feed off each other's energy. You know, it was good.
Final thing, kind of a bummer with Ronnie's injury. How do you guys make sure you don't let that take you down when a game was still close?
You know, he's one of our captains. So he's not even going to let that happen himself. He's going to come to the team, whatever the injury may be, and I pray he's all right. But he's not going to let that happen. He's going to let everyone know he's good, and we're going to play for him.
Blake Corum, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Thanks to Coach Harbaugh, to Vincent Gray, Aiden Hutchinson, Cade McNamara, and Blake Corum for all stopping by. And we mentioned the announcement earlier of Jim and Dan retiring at the end of the season, so we want to bring you a little bit extra of Jim and Dan. They had some post-game analysis from this game. Here are their final thoughts from the post-game radio show.
Let's hope that this is a harbinger of things to come. We'll find out a whole lot next week. But going over this one, Dan, I think we talked at the end of the game what we wanted to see. We did see dominance. We did see some enthusiasm and attitude and energy from this Michigan team. It resulted in a 47-14 win. But I think when you look at the stats, and these are some things that I think that, you know, below the surface of that energy and the dominance, the rushing totals. Michigan rushed 43 times for 334 yards. You had Corum with 14 carries and 111. Haskins, 13 and 70. Both of them had a rushing touchdown. Henning had an end around for 74 and a score. But 334 yards rushing. One of the things we've always talked about in the last few years is that the ability to run the football with power between the tackles kind of was spotty. Well, today, there was some serious rushing. Now, it's Western Michigan. We'll get a little better indication next week against Washington. But to me, that's a great sign.
Well, yeah. Well, anytime you run the football and the number begins with a 3 and it's not like 35, that's a good thing.
Thank you for qualifying.
Yeah, and you know, that's domination. That's complete and utter domination when you run for over 300 yards. If I had 10 boxes, I think they checked off 9 of the 10 boxes. Box number 10 was don't get anybody hurt. And unfortunately, we can't check that box. But in terms of everything else, I thought this was just a wonderful performance by Michigan across the board.
Coming in, Cade McNamara gets the start.
Then he
new
did.
Quarterback. He goes 9 of 11, 136, two scores. The all-star, five-star, J.J. McCarthy, 4 of 6 for 80 and one score. But that position acquitted itself well, too, in this opener.
Yes, it did. And I thought offensively, you know, remember Eric All. He had a couple of receptions, never bobbled the ball once. You know, he had problems last year. I across the board, this was everything that I was hoping that Michigan would look like. Against and again, we don't want to just, you know, beat you over the head with this, but this is no joke. Western Michigan is not a bad football team. That I know they're in the MAC, but they've been winners lately, and they are a very veteran ball club that returned 19 of their 22 starters, and we undressed them here today.
And the strength of that Western team coming in is their offense with Alibi the quarterback.
And we saw that when it was 7-7.
Right. Jefferson, the running back, the receivers. Jalen Hall's got speed. Now, Sky Moore, they lost early to an injury. But the fact that they only got 126 yards rushing and 317 total yards and 14 points, this defense of Mike McDonald, as you said, maybe a little hiccup here or there, but overall – they adjusted well after that first possession.
Well, I thought they adjusted very well. And actually, the first two possessions, you know, Western didn't get in the end zone on that second possession. But on both of their first two possessions, I thought they had receivers that were way too open, that they were finding some big holes in the Michigan secondary. But, and that's coaching. When you can make an adjustment and you tighten that up and you take it away from them, and Michigan – you know, Mike McDonald, their new coordinator, they did it. As the game went on, they got better and better.
And to finally go over, Michigan got big plays. I mean, you look at the big splash play, 79-yard return from Corum, 76-yard touchdown to Ronnie Bell on a reception, 76-yard run from A.J. Henning, and a 69-yard pass from J.J. McCarthy to Dalen Baldwin. Those are big splash plays. Those are plays that are – light the crowd up, that get everybody enthused. Michigan didn't have a lot of those in the past, and they got four of them in one game today.
Well, it was something that was really lacking last year, among other things. But, a lot of times opening day leaves you a little frustrated because you were just inside. You were just hoping they'd be better than they looked. And you're going, man, you've got all that practice, and you still make this many mistakes. We didn't see that today. I'm telling you, overall, I couldn't be happier with the way this team performed today.
And it gets tougher next week when the University of Washington comes in from the Pac-12. But this is a good way to get your feet wet this season with a new defensive staff and a new quarterback. Michigan wins 47-14 in their opener over Western Michigan. Dan, great job. Thank you much.
Thank you, sir. See you next week.
Great work. See you all next week.
Great stuff there from Jim and Dan. All right, John, let's wrap things up. Your thoughts on Washington. Tonight, 8 o'clock, they get Montana. This week, two matchup, Michigan-Washington. Yeah, Western, this was exciting because it was the return of fans and it was a chance to get back into the big house. But next week, the maze out, Big Ten versus Pac-12. This was the early season, Jim, we all had circled on our calendar.
What they need to do is take a look at this film. Yeah, there's a lot to be confident about, but it's Western Michigan. It's a group of five team. You have to do this against power five teams. You have to do this in the Big Ten. So you take a look at the film and you say, here's what we did well. We want to make sure we continue to do that. Here's what we didn't do well. There were a few penalties. What I really liked is the fact that you get into the second half and you see some of the second and third guys on the depth chart, and there wasn't a rash of penalties. There wasn't a rash of turnovers. So that's, again, something to build upon. But you have to continue to lay good performance on top of good performance against better and better teams. And next week is the first opportunity to do that.
Can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
And I tell you what, we have been to Penn State a number of times where it's been a whiteout, and it is a disgusting sight. But a beautiful sight is going to be 8 o'clock next Saturday, the maze out, having this stadium absolutely filled because it's going to be a big game. It's going to be a great environment. Everybody is going to be here, and all of that yellow, all of that maze in the stands is going to be a beautiful sight to see.
Just beat the yellow van.
Yes. Well, I'll have that opportunity because I can get in earlier than anybody else. So I am going to cheat to win, and it's okay.
John, we appreciate it, my man.
Hey, we'll talk to you next week. Go Blue.
That'll do it for this episode of In the Trenches. The Wolverines a winner, 47-14. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with a full slate of podcasts next week, starting with the radio replay of Inside Michigan Football with John. Until then, thank you so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.